Becky, it's Sean.
And Sid, presented by Diet Pepsi, brought to you from the First Light Home Care Studios, firstlighthomecare.com.
Here we are, together apart.
Together apart. Sounds like a song.
Sounds like a Disney song. Maybe something from High School Musical, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, so we are, and we are doing this from two different cities because Sydney has moved. Tell everybody where you live.
I live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Give them
very historic area.
Yeah.
I need to find a documentary about this place because there's tourists everywhere and I'm missing something.
I'm thinking for a side hustle, you could get out your little Betsy Ross outfit and go out there and, you know, just maybe do some embroidery on the streets and see if you can drum up a little extra cash.
Maybe so.
Do you know who Betsy Ross is?
Nope. Is that so bad? I've definitely heard of her. I'm sure she was a great woman.
Betsy Ross, she sewed the flag of the 13 colonies.
Wow. Betsy.
Betsy was very adventurous, yes.
I'm sure she could make a mean mini skirt.
She probably could. Betsy had bad knees, though, so nobody encouraged that. Betsy, let's do a mid-angle thing for you. Yeah. Anyway, just an idea before you learn everything there is to know. I've been to Philly only one time, many, many, many years ago, and it's so cool, the history there. It really, really is.
It is. I'm not much of a museum goer, as you can hear and tell, but I need to go. I think it's so interesting, and it's one of the oldest cities. I live in Old City, and that is where a lot has happened.
A lot apparently has been happening. Go
figure.
The
Liberty Bell is here.
Yes.
The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. We got it all right around the corner.
Okay, so it's time. All right. Time.
I'm going to wear my fanny pack and I'm going to get in those museums and
you should
learn something.
Let's not mock fanny packs. They're making
a
comeback.
I love them. They're back in. They're back in.
I'm telling you, they're making a comeback. Anyway, so she's there. I'm here. We are going to do our radio this way sometimes, and sometimes we'll be together because she still is based here in Columbus. Her work is, but she's allowed to work remotely, which is super cool. So there she is in a city she has no business being in because she doesn't understand the history. That's okay. You've got some time.
Thank you.
So new job, new life, and new month. Can you believe it's June?
I cannot believe it's June.
It's insane.
How we have surpassed the 1 year COVID, you know, lockdown milestone, let alone now we are into the summer, into June. 1 month from now, it'll be the 4th of July. I mean, things are just flying.
They are flying. So maybe we need luck, right? More luck than we've ever had, especially starting a new month. Have you ever had any recollection of the term rabbit, rabbit? It's a phrase. Rabbit,
never.
Rabbit. And supposedly it gives you good luck when you start a month. You're supposed to say rabbit, rabbit.
Who said this? Why did they say this? And how does it work?
It's also
been in a circle and...
It's also white rabbit. You can say white rabbit or rabbit rabbit, okay? This is based in some kind of history, and NPR did a story on it. Why the rabbit and not the possum? Why do we say rabbit rabbit and not possum possum? First of all, I think it's opossum, opossum. But anyway, rabbits have always been seen as good luck throughout the centuries. And they are common symbols of rebirth. Rabbits multiply over and over. And they are a sign of a fresh start. So at the beginning of a whole new month, you're supposed to say rabbit, rabbit on the first of the month for good luck.
Do you have to tell someone this or just into the universe?
You walk up to random groups and just go, rabbit, 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 rabbit.
It's one way to make friends.
I'm sure. And you know, who's going to judge? You brought good luck to a big crowd. Why not? And then when you're sitting in your padded room all by yourself saying, rabbit, rabbit,
you'll be the luckiest person in there.
Exactly. It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by Avola Lanza Hair Studios. Check them out in Grandview.
You know, I was just there this last week and it is kind of refreshing that, you know, they still wear masks if people, you know, requests or they aren't comfortable, you know, they'll still do that. But it was kind of like, well, I've been vaccinated and have you been vaccinated, then, you know, we can be in the same little cubby, and as long as everybody's comfortable, you know what I mean?
Oh, nice. Yeah. And they're in the occupation. They had to be so hot wearing that all day.
Oh, I know.
The blow dryer. And it's all about talking, too. And they have the mask on.
Right.
I'm sure they're eager to lift the gates.
Yeah, a lot of people are. And the incentive, I know, is very political. A lot of people don't want to get their vaccines. So be it, if that's your choice. I do see, though, that more and more they are raising the ante a little bit and trying to get people vaccinated through incentives, right?
Mm-hmm. Here,
Ohio, the Vax-a-Million, and they had our first winner last week. Oh, we've had two now, two winners of a million, two winners of scholarships, and it just seems like more and more states are following in. President Biden, he had a press conference last week where he said pharmacies will now be open 24 hours every Friday through the month of June to try to give people who work odd hours a chance to get vaccinated. Child care places are offering free drop-in child care to help parents out. Uber and Lyft are offering free rides. Anheuser-Busch is going to offer free rounds of beer when this is all over and done with. CVS, they're having a sweepstakes for people who got their vaccinations through them. They can win prizes, cruises, and Super Bowl tickets.
Jeez.
Major League Baseball, for their on-site vaccines, are also offering up ticket giveaways. Kroger is offering up $1 million to vaccinate for people who are vaccinated. And those people who have gotten the vaccine at Kroger through the month of June every week could win $1 million and groceries for a year. But I think my all-time favorite, and I think you're aware of this too, is the state of, by what? God, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Giving away guns. Yes, folks, as if money was not enough. Now in West Virginia, they came up with the lottery scheme of all time, giving away rifles and shotguns.
And you've said that their vaccination numbers have spiked.
They People have spiked. Huge. The state is going to give away custom hunting rifles and five custom shotguns through their lotteries. The lottery drawings will take place weekly from June 20th, I guess, through August 4th. So it's floating out there for a while.
It's so funny. I saw the press conference. It was the governor, I think, of West Virginia that was announcing this.
Yeah.
And I can see how it, you know, grew legs. People want the rifles, the hunting rifles there.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, whatever works for your state. In our Ohio state, I would love $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we would have the same success with a rifle contest. Maybe.
I doubt it. What about where you are? Philadelphia. Anything that you know of? Nope. Girl, we've got to invest in the state you're living in.
Yeah, if you've noticed, but I don't know much about Philadelphia. No, right. They are giving something.
Philly cheesesteak sandwiches for everybody, maybe?
Yum.
We'll leave it at that because you're still searching.
Yeah, I'm still searching. I got a lot of time to research, so I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. As for now, Sydney will not be Philadelphia's ambassador this year. I think maybe we'll try for next year. Okay? It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by the Wesley Communities, wesleycommunities.com.
Many trustworthy people there.
Absolutely.
In fact, we're doing a thing called Windows on Wesley. And you'll be able to see that very soon because we met the Moody's, we met a wonderful lady named Alexandria, and oh my gosh, so many funny stories and just quality, trustworthy people. And everything they all said is, I love the people behind the Wesley Communities. So super cool. So you'll be able to see those on video and you'll be able to hear them here on the radio. That's all coming our way here in the next week. So, what would you consider somebody who's trustworthy, Sid? What would be some of the traits you think are important?
Responsible.
Yes. Yes. Responsive.
You're really putting me on the spot here.
That's okay.
Loyal. I feel like that's
the
same.
Yes, good one.
Word, almost.
Not really. Okay. Do you want me to give
what
you
about you, Sean Ireland?
Okay. I think trustworthy people are people who are honest, right? Isn't that a big one?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So that would include people who aren't constantly late. They don't cancel plans at the last minute. They keep secrets. You know, people like that. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. would be trustworthiness. They polled.
I feel like this is me when I was 5 years old and I came home from school and said, "What's trustworthy?" That would be your answer. So thank you.
Well, then you should have had some kind of repressed memory of this. Oh, well. All right. So SWNS Digital had this. And this is from a survey. They had 2,000 people that were polled by researchers indicating what you could consider somebody who is trustworthy. And these are some of the qualifications. Someone who is self-aware, mm-hmm. calm-headed, not judgmental, and they're always there when you need them. So why is that important? Because, gosh, do you want to spend your time with people who aren't trustworthy? So
no. Did you say calm-headed?
Calm-headed, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
So you're not a hothead, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, hot-headed people are going to go off. And can you really trust somebody who's prone to go off, you know?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, there are certain professions that people associate with that. I think the healthcare profession, you know, obviously from what we've been through this last year, doctors and nurses, they have been voted on top as the most trustworthy professions.
What about lawyers?
Not on the list. Not on the list, go figure.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, they have to take an oath. You would think that they would be the most trustworthy, at least on the list.
Believe me, I get my receipts. I know.
Yeah.
It is a business after all, right?
It is. It is.
Okay. If you're lucky enough to find the combination of the two, perfect. All right. So what are the top 30 signs of trust? I'm going to run through a few of these and you tell me. Okay. This is after they polled 2,000 people. They came up with this list.
Okay.
Reliable. Mm-hmm. Not manipulative. They won't share your confidences. They are consistent in the way they behave with you. They have integrity. Their words and behavior match. They haven't broken your trust before. They respect your boundaries. They listen to you. You know them well. They are considerate. They're willing to help. And they have been in your life, usually for a longer period of time. That's interesting. I don't know about the long period of time. Although, if you've had somebody in your life for a long period of time and they haven't ruined your trust, then I guess, yeah.
Right. If they have a good track record. I think that nails it. And I think trustworthiness is probably one of the most valuable and attractive characteristics you can look for in a person. A friend, significant other, family member, whatever it might be.
Right.
Someone that's trustworthy. Slam dunk. Okay, so if you fibbed about where my cat Cuddles went when I was about 6 or 7, does that mean that you're not trustworthy, or do people get a get out of jail free card?
Did I mention there are 30 of these on here? I don't think we need to just highlight one or two. It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you by North Star Family Dental, NorthStarFamilyDental.com. I'm sure many people have seen this story this past week, but I want to chat about it. So Naomi Osaka dropped out of the French Open. If you're not familiar with her, she is a 23-year-old tennis superstar. She defeated Serena Williams in the last French Open. And this is kind of taking the sports world by storm, especially in tennis, where it's an individual sport. Her dropping out, of course, there's tons of opinions, tons of press around this, and it's drawing attention to the importance of mental health. I mean, really, she's taking a mental health break, which I don't think we've seen in the sports world, an athlete like that take a break or drop out from a major competition for that reason. And I guess, should that be treated like an injury? In my personal opinion, yes, mm-hmm. but there's many opinions on the subject.
So talk about some of the people who have come out and with some horrible things to say. Why is Piers Morgan even a human? I mean, he is the biggest waste of flesh I have ever seen. I mean, the guy just has...
He is nasty.
He never has anything nice to say.
But that's his... I mean, that is his character, his, like, mojo. Have you ever seen a story about Piers Morgan where it's positive, where he's like shedding light on a positive subject?
No. Nope, nope, nope.
Real quick, let's take a step back. If you're not, you know, up to speed with this story. Okay. So Naomi Osaki, she boycotted the press conference. That was kind of the first kicker at the French Open. She said she wasn't going to do it. And then they fined her $15,000. And she eventually came out and said she's going to drop out. She said that anyone that knows her, she's introverted. She said, anyone that has seen me at the tournaments will notice I'm often wearing headphones. It helps with my social anxiety. I was feeling really vulnerable and anxious, so I thought it was better to exercise self-care and skip the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Which is smart. I mean, it's incredibly smart. But let's talk about Piers Morgan. He is just nastiness. That man is the biggest waste of flesh. Seriously, the things he has said about other people, he's always got to chime in on something, and it's always negative.
Well, he was quoted saying that Naomi Osaki is a spoiled brat with a gigantic ego. And supposedly, he made some comparison to Meghan Markle.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just take down two great girls in one story. But he's just miserable. Someone needs to give him a hug or a glass of wine or I don't know what.
A laxative. He needs a laxative.
Or a spanking. Something
going on. But it has opened the eyes of all people to the immense pressures and the immense amount of money involved in professional sports that, you know, after all, this is somebody younger than you, Sydney, who is dealing right. with this kind of pressure, and she's already kind of an introvert. That's awful.
I could not do it ever.
Well, it's good because I've seen your overhand slice, and it's just terrible.
It's horrible. So that's out of the question. We don't have to worry about me showing up at a press conference anytime soon.
And your two-handed backhand, not good.
Mm-mm. Not good. Mm-mm. For the record, I know we're defending her.
Yeah.
Her last name is Osaka. So, oops.
Oh, oops.
Team Osaka.
As if she doesn't have enough problems, poor kid. Is Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by Merle Norman at Polaris.
Oh, which... you know, will be good because if you have to cover up bear bruises and claw marks, you should go to Merle Norman.
They got the makeup for it.
Uh-huh. Crazy
Last
story.
Week,
crazy.
Yes. It's insane. Last week, a story broke about a 17-year-old girl who lives in Southern California that physically shoved a bear, a mama bear, albeit, away from her dogs to save her puppies. Her furry friends.
The video is crazy. Crazy.
It was caught on camera by their house security camera. And if you haven't seen it, Google it. It's insane. It was, like I said, in Southern California, in her backyard, this mama bear and their cubs come kind of up on their, it's like a cinder block fence.
Right.
And they're, you know, peering over the fence. I don't know if mama was hungry and was going to steal a dog for lunch or what was going on there. But she's only 17, this girl.
And she had a dress on. If I'm going to fight a bear, I'm probably going to be in like some leather pants, suede pants, something a little stronger. Anyway, she comes flying out of the house because the dogs were going crazy in the backyard. And then she sees all the dogs jumping up on the wall. It was a horrific sight, and she just runs out as the bear is trying to swat the babies, the smaller of the pups, and she just shoves the bear right off the ledge.
And that's a heavy bear.
Well, it couldn't have been.
That girl really shoved it off the ledge.
She sprained her finger.
But she said, basically, she knew she had to protect her dogs. She said she had to do what she had to do, but she said, honestly, I didn't know it was a bear until right after I pushed it. It did not register in my head that was a bear. She said, it was like an animal, and it's taking my child, and so I pushed the bear.
What would you do? Okay, first of all, there's nothing in my imagination that would make me think that you would fight a bear for Stevie. Poor Stevie Nips. She'd be out there barking up a storm, and you know she would. Because remember, when she ran out in the backyard when that whole group of, I don't know what you call a group of deer, a herd of deer, came flying across the backyard? There must have been five. The last one was probably 6 foot tall from the top of its head. Huge mama. And I let her out like an idiot. She tore off after that deer. The deer stops near the end of our fence, which is close to an acre back. And the deer stops and turns around and does the stomp thing on the grass.
Ooh.
And stares down Stevie. Stevie stopped like a cartoon, like, you know, dragging her feet through the grass, stopped. And I thought, I don't know what I would have done. Would I run out there if a deer was attacking her? I'd like to think I would.
I think I would. But deer are nasty, but a bear is a whole different story.
A bear is a whole different story. Yeah.
I would have to grab something. I think I would.
She had a pot.
Grab something in the backyard, a chair, or. But the fact that this girl ran up that close
with her hands
to the bear with her bare hands, no pun intended. And try to push it off the ledge is just nuts.
I mean,
maybe ignorance was bliss in this situation, but ignorance could also get you killed.
It can get you killed. I mean, if it's my kids, no doubt I would go flying out there with bare hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would.
Kick. You would do something.
Yeah. Cartwheels, try to distract it. A couple herkies. Look over here.
Do a little dance.
Who's got spirit? Yes, you do. Anyway, so do you wonder what people are wired for? Are there some that are just naturally wired for fight or flight? Yes, there are. We're going to tell you who those people are when we come back. It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by Donato's Pizza. Yum. Every piece is important.
So true. Okay, so we talked about the 17-year-old who tossed a bear off her ledge, saving her dogs, because now she is the coolest 17-year-old in California, if not beyond.
And she was wearing a dress.
And she was wearing a nice, airy skirt. So the question would be, are you the kind of person who would fight a bear, run from a bear? Is it even a choice? Is there a choice in who you are when things like that happen? NPR did a segment based on some research to find out what are the categories or characteristics that are what makes somebody want to throw it all out there and fight a bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
One theory is that fight or flight is present in men and tend or befriend is present in women.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, guys are either going to go one way or the other, and a woman is going to try to tend to the issue, or she'll try to befriend the attacker. So I find that so interesting. So it's not like a fight or flight anymore. There's like four different approaches to it. Fight, face, flight, freeze. Those now are kind of really what the four angles of how to deal with this kind of anxiety is. How they really present themselves.
Ooh.
If you think about, I'm not trying to make a generalization, but most men that I know would have probably, not in that situation, I'm just talking about if there's something that confronts you, whether it's somebody willing to like come at you, fight you, say something nasty or whatever, a guy might be more prone to respond like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most women don't, although I've been to enough Buckeye football games that I think there are a few of you out there. But
yeah. So women fall into the face or freeze. Is that right?
Face it. Yes.
Yep.
Or freeze completely. Right.
Right. That makes so much sense.
Guys are
willing. What do you think you are?
I think I can get sassy, but I think it's usually as a second tier response. If other people are really getting worked up, I'll kind of jump in to try to go like, okay, enough, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, that drags me into the into the fray.
Then your enoughs make people more mad. I think so.
But I think over time, things like that interest me less. You know what I mean? I'm just really, it's not worth it to get worked up over things.
So you're kind of a face.
I'm kind of a face person.
Yeah.
Not like get in your face, but more like let's face what's going on and let's move on. right?
Right, right.
What about you? What are you? Would you push a bear off a ledge? You're a face too. Yeah.
I think I am.
Yeah.
But I agree. I have that same characteristic in me where I can be a little feisty.
Yeah, it happens. I don't know.
Thank you for that characteristic, Heather.
Well, it could be worse. We could be fighters, and we're not fighters, right?
True. It's true.
So we also don't wear enough dresses. So maybe if we wore more dresses, we'd find our inherent superhero within us, and we could take things down, people down, bears down.
First, I need to tan my legs.
Okay. It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by the Wesley Communities, wesleycommunities.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have been working from home for a while now, and it's looking like I will be doing that for the foreseeable future.
Well, lucky you.
I know, I'm able to work from home, but with that, I'll be truthful, come some distractions. It is so easy to pick up your phone when you don't have those eyes on you, or to multitask and get laundry done or something around the house or schedule an appointment, whatever it might be. So I was doing some research on productivity and mm-hmm. how to stay productive at home. And this could be at home or at work or getting any task done. But I put this technique to the test this week and I can say it does work.
Okay. What is this technique?
It is called the Pomodoro technique. Created by a Berlin-based business consultant, Francesco Cirillo, nearly 20 years ago.
Okay.
The Pomodoro technique is a life-changing strategy. What exactly is it? It is a 25-minute, pure, uninterrupted work, followed by 5 minutes of a break that helps boost productivity, minimize deadline anxiety, and sharpen mental focus.
Wow. So
what that means is you physically set a timer for 25 minutes. So you'd get on your phone, set it, you knock out 25 minutes of whatever that task might be, mm-hmm. and then you get this 5-minute refresher of, it's supposed to be uninterrupted. So you would get off your phone, lay on the ground, whatever it might be, not have any distractions. And then maybe you go back to your general tasks or you start up another 25 minutes. And get something done. But I did this past week at work and loved it. It was like almost like a contest. Like you start the timer and you know you're supposed to be uninterrupted and productive for those 25 minutes and get it done. And for me, mentally, it worked. I liked the motivation of feeling like I was on the clock.
So you had to put your phone aside though, right? So for 25 minutes, you know, I'm not going to look at that notification or whatever just popped up in my text. I'm going to power through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your 5 minutes to do whatever.
Right. But better yet, you should do 4 sets back to back. So that way you're kind of getting, I mean, total, you're getting 2 hours if you do those 30-minute blocks. But the theory is that by working in manageable bursts of time with rest in between, you're more productive and you're more focused.
I'm here to tell you, having worked in an office, even through COVID, that people are time wasters. I mean, terrible. And time management is not key, you know? So, and no offense to the guys who smoked, but every 10 minutes they're outside. And so I'm like, how are you productive? How are you able to do this? Yeah.
I just heard an interesting saying at work, just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're productive.
So true.
Like, do you know those people in your life that are constantly like, oh, I'm just so busy. I can't get anything done. I'm working until, you know, 9 p.m., 10, whatever it might be. And granted, there's some people that genuinely need that amount of time to get things done. But I thought it was interesting because it's like, are you busy or are you not being productive? Like, are you not using your time well? The Pomodoro technique is for those people.
Pomodoro. Do you wear a pompadour when you do the Pomodoro technique?
It sounds a little distracting, but you could try it.
It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by North Star Family Dental. Hey, all you listeners out there, my mother's looking for a job. If you have something in mind, email us at seanandsid@gmail.com.
Thank you, honey. I'm sounding a little desperate. Yes, I am desperate. Thank you. I appreciate that. Checks in
the
mail.
She didn't pay me to say that or
anything. No, because I don't have any money, so I can't do that. It's okay.
Play it cool. All right. Well, if this radio advertisement does not work for you, Mom, mm-hmm. I have some hacks for LinkedIn that you can use today to land that dream job.
Okay.
This is an article by HuffPost. And actually, I think some of these tips are super helpful. So on LinkedIn, there is a way to actually weed out jobs that have had too many applicants. Oh, like you kind of have no shot at this point in the game. And so the way to do this is you can actually type in quotation marks, early applicant, and then whatever department or role title you're looking for. So it might be, quote, early applicant, all caps, and brand designer, or and news personality.
Okay.
What would you call yourself?
Completely confused. Desperate.
Confused media person.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, you'll be the first one to apply.
Confused and abused. How's that?
Something like that. Okay. Tip number two. Mm-hmm. List more than your job title in your own profile headline if you want to attract more recruiters.
Oh, okay.
So for instance, you might write, desperately looking for job in the media industry. Please send help.
SOS.
Single mom, two kids, one dog.
Okay, got it. All right. I'm jotting all this down. Go ahead.
Was that funny or was that mean?
No. Gosh, nothing's mean anymore. I've been so downtrodden, abused, beat up. It's good. I could take it all. I could push a bear off a ledge right now. I got nothing to lose. Let's do it.
Maybe put that in your headline. Can push skin.
Yeah, tough skin.
Tough skin.
Can push a bear.
Write that down.
Okay, tough skin.
Okay. So basically it's called a headline, but you need more than just your job title.
Okay.
So think of what that headline might be. All right, number three, fill out every part of your profile, even the ones that are kind of cumbersome, because each section is an opportunity to optimize for what a hiring manager is looking for.
Okay.
Like your background, your skills.
Yeah.
Each section is that opportunity to include relevant keywords that might show up on a job search. Think about your competencies. What are your competencies?
Girl, I can make a margarita in about 3 seconds.
That's my mama.
See?
That's my mama.
See?
All right. Add a personalized note when you're connecting with people on LinkedIn.
Okay. Hi, Bob. Do you still have that hair growing out of your ear?
I remember that from when we worked at XYZ radio station.
I couldn't stop staring at it. Not like that. Not that personal. Okay. I'll work on that.
That's good. All right. Last one. Try using voice direct messages for people that you're already connected with.
Okay.
I didn't know this was a thing. Huh. Try recording a voice message, which is an option in the LinkedIn app on iOS and Android. So yeah, because most people are not using it. So I can guarantee that you'll stand out. And most likely the person will listen to it. What is this voicemail on my LinkedIn?
Why is this crazy woman? How did she get through to me? What in the world?
You know what's interesting, though?
What?
In the industry like you're in, to leave a voice message that way, like, hello, this is Sean Ireland.
Oh, would you like me to sell your products? I'll work on my delivery.
A little creepy.
It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by Merle Norman at Polaris.
Have you had your fair share of deja vu? Deja vu meaning you are all of a sudden experiencing something. It feels like you've experienced that same thing in some way, shape, or form before. Have you had that?
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I think I used to have it more often when I was younger, like growing up for whatever reason.
I feel that same way. I think
I don't have it very often anymore.
I think we're so cluttered with so much garbage in our brains. Yeah. It's hard now to.
We don't take the time to like realize that feeling. That maybe.
Maybe. So YouGovAmerica.com. This is today.YouGovAmerica. They did a poll. This was conducted, in fact, just April 27th. And 10,771 adults surveyed. Do you have deja vu? And a lot was 13%. sometimes was 47%, rarely 30%, never 6, and don't know was 4. They're very confused, the don't knows. But so what is it? What I heard it explained away as was that something that your eyes are seeing hasn't yet registered in your brain. So there's that time lapse, right? You're seeing something, but you can't attach anything to it for a hot minute. So that is why it feels like you've experienced that before.
I've never heard that.
You hadn't heard that?
When I asked you what deja vu was years ago, you did not explain it that way.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
So the aliens are coming and you've experienced this before.
I thought fear was a better tactic at the time because you were straying. You're becoming a wanderlust child and I wanted to bring you back home.
Oh, good.
What scientists have figured out over the years is that deja vu is a memory phenomenon. We encounter a situation that's similar to an actual memory,
ooh,
but it's a memory that we can't fully recall. So our brain recognizes, this is similar to something, but I can't really put my brainstem on it between what we're looking at currently and maybe a distant memory or a memory in our past. And you're left feeling with that sense of familiarity, even if it's not exactly the same thing, but you can't really quite place it.
That kind of makes sense because I feel like sometimes I experience deja vu in the most like insignificant times. Like it's not like a monumental moment that I'm like, I feel like I've been here before.
Like
it's
you're like, picking up a bag of chips at the BP and you're like, gosh, this feels weird. I feel like I've just bought these pork rinds.
Gosh, I just bought Takis. When did I eat that bag?
Exactly. So it's something, yeah, I get that. It's not like some big wow, aha moment, but it's something that's just like, just feels so weird in the moment.
Like if you get deja vu on your wedding day, you probably have some explaining to do.
Good point. It's Sean.
And Sid, brought to you by Donato's Pizza.
It is yard sale time. People have been locked up indoors, probably going through boxes and bins and thinking, I've got to get rid of my junk. Well, thanks to firstforwomen.com. How can you have the best yard sale ever? Net even maybe up to $1,000 easily, experts say. Here are what the experts say you need to be doing in order to get those buyers to pick up your crap and take it away.
That's one way to put it.
Okay. Number one, how to lure buyers. Use keywords. Using words like estate or moving signals items of higher value. Do this because those crowd-enticing phrases do make a difference. For instance, for like name-brand clothing, you call them designer, luxury when you place an ad. Selling stuff like old movies, books, or toys, you call them rare collectibles. In other words, lie. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, wait. Isn't it a little creepy? I hate to say this, but if someone posts an ad like estate, I'm thinking, ooh, spooky ghosts. Everything is attached to something.
It did used to belong to somebody who's probably moved on. That's true. Also smart, they say time your ad right. Post it on a Monday or Tuesday before the sale. They say that's when people, after a weekend, are kind of like leafing around looking for things, and they'll probably make a little note of that one. Okay, to sell more, stage it savvy. Drivers are inclined to stop when they see red. So use red pops of crimson with, say, red balloons on your mailbox. It's called the red effect, and they say it works. How about it? Isn't that interesting?
It is. It's like, what else should you be using red for?
Another trick employed by yard sale pros is the giveaway box. It's a bin filled with trinkets or small toys. Folks will stop by for a freebie. So it's like, so help yourself to this box of toys with yucky goo on it for my children. Okay, to close the sale, tell a tale. Everybody loves a good story, and you can sell your stuff faster with a fun one. So especially true for pricier items, maybe a furniture or jewelry. So it's, hey, I see you're looking at my grandma's love seat there. Did you know that that's where I was conceived? No, Maybe not that. But if they have like a record player, you know, if you know the backstory, yeah, well, we listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire over and over on that. You know, the pair of earrings. Oh, those were worn by the governor's wife. You know what I mean? Whatever. So try to engage people and come up with stories that are based on the items they're going to get.
I think you found your calling. You are a yard sale storyteller.
Yes. It's Sean
and Sid, brought to you by Avola Lanza Hair Studios.
Well, you know, we lost a dog. We lost our Libby 3 weeks ago, right? So, and then you moved, and then I had a mental breakdown. But
and
I'm back
been sleeping
now
in the closet
because I have no job. And it sounds so bad. I mean, who was I? I was. We had to go to a funeral. My uncle passed too. On top of that. And so we had to go to a funeral, and that was my cousin and I. And believe me, I'm being a wowsy woo-woo person because, you know, I won't be that person. But I was, you know, my cousin was like, so how you doing? He said, you know, I know you've been through some stuff. And I went, rattled it off, and he goes, daggone it, girl, get a pickup. You're a country song.
You just need a little jingle behind you.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, so, it is and it isn't.
It's funny when it's somebody else's life, right? Right? No. Yeah.
You know what? Like, what's your favorite saying?
You can't fall out of a basement. Heck no.
You can't fall out of a basement.
Heck no. So what do you do if you're like me now? So I'm noticing that Stevie, who is only a year old now, right? She was our rescue pup during the pandemic. She went from having a lot of dogs to like nobody, and it happened very quick. So she's throwing around a bone right now, so she must be okay. But anyway, typically I see her very bored because she's also an Aussie Australian Shepherd mix, and so she's like so full of activity. So what do you do? A lot of people are realizing that their dogs are just bored. How do you give them stimulation and activities to keep the fun in their lives, right?
I think we need to bring her to the lake, to Alum Creek, and get her in the water.
I thought about that too, but you know what happens? What if she doesn't swim? Then I have to get in that poopy dog water.
No.
I can't swim in poopy dog water, Cindy.
Make for a good segment. We can give it a try.
I think she would be good with other dogs, but there's that weird introductory point where you're like, what happens if there's a free-for-all because she's never been to a dog park, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. She's a little much.
They say just you need to do more games with the dogs, like tug-of-war. So if you see me out in the backyard, I'm sending this out there to my neighbors, Paul and Lisa. I'm just truly trying to keep her from being bored. I know I walk her now, and that's one of the blessings of being home during this, you know, because I was home when Libby was so sick, and now I'm home with her during her transition. But I think she gets bored with doing the same walks. It gets a little mundane, you know?
Wait a minute. What happened to agility training?
It's there. I just don't know how to do it. I bought it. I thought she would just do it. I tried to jump over things. I went in and out of the little sticks.
You did. You crawled through the tube. And
I tried. She wouldn't do it. Maybe now she will.
You.
Maybe there's no distraction. She might do it. So there's a lot of things. And I think about people now going back into the workplace because you have been home with your pets and now they've got to worry about separation anxiety and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got some summer planning to do. Might get a kiddie pool. Try that before we take her out and dunk her in the lake.
She'll be okay. I mean, you're doing a lot of frisbee throwing.
Yes, I do. Oh. I catch it most
your
of the time
arms
in my mouth.
Are very, very toned.
My arms are toned
in your mouth. She throws it right back.
She does. It's been fun. Gosh, I need to get out of here. All right. So anyway, best of luck to all you if you're dealing with the bored dog syndrome too. But hey, follow us. You know where to find us on social media.
Sean and Sid. As easy as that. It's Shawn and Cyd. We like to keep it interesting.
Yes, we do. And don't forget SeanandSid.com, where you can find our videos. You can catch up on the things we're doing. And gosh, just, you know, find our radio stations and all the other goodness. iTunes and Spotify, we're there as well. So, Sid, for our first show afar, you in Philly, me here, I think it sounds good. I'm excited.
And I love it. I love seeing you. Yeah. And we appreciate everyone listening. So keep following us. Keep up with all of our crazy. We appreciate it.
More announcements coming. So stick around. Everybody have a wonderful weekend and be safe.